We're going to be watching some videos today. And Philip, who was from Bethsaida, said to Nathanael, come and see. Philip had just met Jesus. He was already impressed. He figured out, oh, wait a minute, this is the guy, very quickly. And so we're going to get to see Bethsaida this morning. So come and see is the theme of what we're talking about today, that you get to come along with me and see some parts of Israel. And there's so much to talk about. We're just going to focus on the Sea of Galilee today. This picture is from the Sea of Galilee here. And here's our main takeaway. The Bible is real. Imagine that. For some of us, that seems kind of obvious, but for many who may doubt, what you're going to see today is that the Bible is about real people and real places and real history. I was there, I walked it, I put my hands in the dirt, and I'm going to share some of that with you today. The Bible is real. Our faith is grounded, our scripture is grounded in reality. Unlike many other holy books in the world and other religions, what we read in the Bible is grounded in reality. So here's what we like to call the speeds and feeds, the stats, so to speak. So I was in Israel and Jordan for 3 weeks from May 5th to the 27th last month. And it was over a 6,000-mile flight from Atlanta to Tel Aviv. My phone says that I walked 97 miles. And I know it wasn't tracking for some of that, so it's probably 100 miles that I walked in 3 weeks there. We, in the first 2 weeks, we looked at 70 different biblical sites. We were out for about 11 hours a day. It was a very aggressive pace. And the last 5 days was an archaeology dig at Shiloh, or how they pronounce it, Shiloh. And down here on the table, Jeff's and some others are passing out a handout for you. There's some links there. Also on the table down front, I have a couple books written by my tour guide, some salt from the Dead Sea, and some artifacts that I pulled out of the ground there at Shiloh, as well as some others that others have pulled out of the ground there, some 2,000-year-old Roman pottery. And there's some coins there. Those are not ancient. Those are current Israeli shekels, but you can see the menorah and the harp and different things on the coins there. So those are on the table down front if you'd like to look at those later. And twice in this first 2 weeks, we had our 60-passenger tour bus on dirt roads. I mean, we went to places that most tours never go. This was an off-road tour. We were hiking, crawling, getting wet, exploring the land of Israel and Jordan to the nth degree, and in ways that many tours don't get to do. So, and this is all about one book. So thank you for your prayers. I needed them, and they worked. You kept me safe, and the Lord kept me safe, and I appreciate your prayers. So the 70 sites, this is a list. Obviously, we can't talk about all of these this morning. These yellow ones, we're not even going to talk about maybe one of them, but these are some of my bucket list items. I wanted to see Hezekiah's tunnel since Hebrew class in college. The Israel Museum, where they house so many of these artifacts that they found. Joppa, where Jonah fled from the call to the Gentiles and Peter received the vision for the call to the Gentiles. Machaerus, where John the Baptist was imprisoned and beheaded. Magdala, the humble little synagogue, that location where Mary Magdalene was from. These were some of the bucket list places that I wanted to visit. And so there's so much more that we could talk about. I have a lifetime of stories to tell, so I'd be happy to share some more with you after today. But I want to start out with just a tour of some of the geographic extremes of Israel. First thing you think about Israel is you think about rock and desert, but there's so much more. So what we're going to do here is we're going to start off looking at the jungle of Dan in the north, and and Caesarea, starting on the Mediterranean Sea. So here, this is actually a palace of Herod built out over into the Mediterranean Sea at Caesarea that we read about, where Cornelius lived. There's so much more to this site. There's a big amphitheater, a hippodrome where they would race horses. But this is the coast of Israel. And we visited even an aqueduct here. And this aqueduct was built by the Roman 10th Legion. And we know that because there's a sign that says built by the Roman 10th Legion. And when it wasn't fighting season, they were doing construction projects for the Romans. And so this is at Caesarea, this aqueduct. But as you can see, this is beautiful white sand beaches with the blue-green Mediterranean water, some of the most beautiful coastline I've ever seen. And Herod, we talk about this man who was afraid of everybody around him, paranoid, built the largest seaport in the entire Mediterranean here in Israel. And so he was trying to impress the people at Rome, and that he very much did. It was an amazing place to see there. And so then let's go to the jungles of Dan in the north. So I'm going to skip through this, and I'm going to play some of the audio because I want you to hear. You know, this looked to me like something you would see at a zoo where they've created this habitation, or like at King's Island with the rushing river ride and you're bumping along in this raft, right? But this was real terrain in the north of Israel. And I'm going to turn on the audio. This is Tel Dan Nature Preserve. Look at this water. It looks like a jungle. Wow. There's a fig tree right there on the edge. Look at that rough water. That is amazing. Going to fill the Jordan River here at the very northern tip of Israel. Absolutely amazing. Just the cane. From the Negev in the south of Israel. Big trees and river. Lord. You think of Israel, right? So that's in the very north of Israel. And now let's go to the opposite extreme, to the Dead Sea. And so here we are, the shadows of our tour group figures there as the sun is setting. And we're actually looking over the Dead Sea where there's barely any at all vegetation that you can see. And across the Dead Sea is Jordan. And so you're looking at this barren, barren area, right? The Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, it's called. So that's the other extreme. And then here is a view of taken from Machaerus on the Jordan side. And just look, you know, my mom tells me I've got to get out west. And I've seen the mountains out west in the U.S. from above and the airplanes. But now I've seen these mountains of the Judean desert here at the Dead Sea. Just beautiful. You can see the strata in the rocks on these. And it's just rocky mountains. And I was told somebody there's probably a dozen different kinds of rocky looking mountains in Israel when you look around there. That it's just amazing terrain. And then this is En Gedi, which was literally an oasis. It was a spring that feeds into, this is on the western Israeli side of the Dead Sea. And so this is just one little snippet, but it's actually like this cavern that you kind of walk back through, and there's multiple small waterfalls back to maybe a 40, 50 foot waterfall at the back. And that's this is the famous place where Saul was relieving himself in a cave, and David clipped off a corner of his robe that happened there at En Gedi, where these springs were. And so it was a place where people would come to get refreshed, because when you're out there in the 100 degree heat of the desert, that water is really amazing. And then Shiloh, every morning walking into the dig for the last 5 days, this was the view. as you're walking up this path over to the dig, the rocky mountains of Shiloh there, and the sun coming up every morning. It was just gorgeous. And so that's an example of some of the terrain around. And then we come to Mount of Olives, and we look at the famous Dome of the Rock view of Jerusalem here. So this is from the Mount of Olives. On the left there are the cemetery, Jewish people buried there. And then you can see there right in the middle is the double eastern gate. And those walls today that we look at around Jerusalem were built around the 1500s. Those are not the ancient walls. And so that is a view of Jerusalem then, the big city. So those are just, first off, as we kind of set the setting of Israel, it runs the gamut of all of this different beautiful geography where the stories of the Bible took place. So if you think about how big is Israel, is a common question. It's about 290 miles north to south. The bottom third of that is mostly desert, not a lot going on down there. But from Cincinnati to Ashtabula, all the way to the northeast cross, if you could think of stretching Israel across the state of Ohio diagonally, that's about how big Israel is, and it's only about 85 miles wide at its widest point. So Israel would well fit within the state of Ohio, if you think about that as far as size is concerned. And then we're going to focus today, because there's so much we could talk about, we're just going to narrow this down to the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias, because the Romans would come in and give everything their own Roman names. So it was called the Sea of Tiberias. There's a big city today called Tiberias still there on the western shore. And so the Sea of Galilee is located in the north there. And if we expand this, I thought it's 13 miles north to south, 7 miles east to west. And Buckeye Lake is about 7 miles long. So if you were to put Buckeye Lake in the middle of this lake called the Sea of Galilee, that's about what it would look like. All right. Just to kind of give you a perspective on the size of the Sea of Galilee. But Israeli folks call it Kinneret, which means harp, because it's kind of shaped like a harp. And these little red waypoints around are some places we're going to visit today. You should have a handout with some of those named. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a little video tour around the Sea of Galilee. We're going to start on the west coast here from Mount Arbel, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. We're going to then see the synagogue at Magdala. We're going to see the ancient boat from the first century that was discovered. Then we're going to see the Capernaum synagogue, where Jesus' ministry was based. At Chorazin, we'll see the synagogue there as well. And Bethsaida, all popular names in Scripture. Then we're going to work our way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes you read in the Gospels, it says, and they got in a boat and they went to the other side. Well, that other side was Hippos is there. It's one of the, or Susita. It's one of the Roman cities that were part of the Decapolis, it was called. And this was Gentile pagan territory on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. So we're going to see the precipice where the pigs ran down into the Sea of Galilee, and a number of things here we're getting ready to take a look at. So what we're going to do then, so I want you to kind of pay attention to these videos, because it's not exactly going to be a quiz, but you're going to want to remember some of these scenes. So let's start with a view of Mount Arbel. So this is down in the Sea of Galilee where I was staying for 3 days. And if you notice this big cliff on the left, there's a much smaller little mountain on the right, and between it you can see a mountain in the distance. This is a pass where Jesus came from Nazareth, for example. That little mountain in the distance and another ridge behind that's where Nazareth was. So Jesus would have come through this pass. Or anytime he left Galilee to go to, say, Caesarea Philippi, or he's going out to Samaria, he would go through this pass. And the Mount Arbel here on the left is not really mentioned by name in Scripture, but multiple times it says Jesus went to a high mountain to pray. This is the highest mountain around the Sea of Galilee, here on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. I climbed this mountain with half of our tour group, led by our leader, and there's the full video is on my YouTube channel that's linked in your notes there. It's also linked directly from the sermon on our website if you find it there. So when you climb up Mount Arbel and you look back down at the Sea of Galilee, this is what it looks like. So kind of panning around this large plain there on the west side of the Sea of Galilee from Mount Arbel. And what we're going to notice here, I'll point out a few things. So down here in the bottom, you see what looks like a little city or something there. That's actually Magdala. We're going to view the synagogue there. Okay. So down in the bottom right corner, that's Magdala. And then we come around to this little green area. It's called Nof Gennesar today. That's where we stayed for 3 nights. And that's where the famous Galilee boat is there in a museum. We go around the shoreline. Notice what I want you to see is that this is just a lake that you can see all the way around it. This is not this massive ocean. It's just a little lake, and that's known as the Sea of Galilee. And you can literally see all the way around it from these mountains. So over here would be Capernaum on the northern shoreline, and then Chorazin back here up on the mountains from there. So this is orienting us. So now we're going to look at what they call the Migdal Synagogue. And the Old Testament name Migdal, or if you kind of change up the vowels, Magdala, Mary Magdalene. Okay, this is the Migdal Synagogue. And what I want to show you here, as we look at the synagogue, we're going to pan around for a second, and now I'm going to explain what a synagogue was. So here in the opening, okay, this the problem with Israel is if you want to go build something and you put your backhoe in the ground, you hit some stone, okay, you've got to call the Israeli Antiquities Authority. They're going to come dig, and like, okay, sorry, your construction project is on hold. We have to excavate here now that you found something. So this is the synagogue they found several years ago, literally across the highway. They started to widen the highway. You could throw a rock from here and hit it. And they found a second synagogue. It's only just been surface excavated just a little bit, but you can see it right there. It's literally right beside the highway on the other side of the road from here. So here is, think about this wall going across here as the main wall going into the synagogue with a door and some steps there. This would be the gathering area out front, or the narthex. I actually had our Israeli tour guide of 39 years use the word narthex when I was in Israel. And I thought, oh my goodness, Jeff, this one's for you. It's the narthex, right? The lobby. This was the gathering area. And he used that more to refer to what he called basilica style, later Byzantine era cathedrals. But this would have been the gathering area out front. You walk through the door, and I know it's a little distant to see there, but what I hope you can notice, number one, there's this little box in the middle. That little box was found completely intact. Very rare. This is a replica. The real one's in a museum. And it's the box where the stone table where they would then put a wooden box that contained the scrolls. A synagogue was not a house of worship like a church today, necessarily. You know, we have weddings and funerals and community events here at the church. That's kind of the way the synagogue worked there as well. But primarily, it was for studying the Torah. People did not have a copy of scripture to read on their own on their phone, right? So they would go to the synagogue where they could hear the scripture being read and where the young men would come to learn Torah from a young age. Now, remember Jesus said that the scribes and Pharisees, they prefer those best seats at the synagogue, all right? So what you see is kind of a horseshoe of stone seats, kind of stone benches around the inside, and then also stone benches all the way around the outside, all right? That's how the synagogue was laid out. You had kind of a smaller part in the middle and then on the outside, so people would literally ring around, everybody sitting facing towards the middle, and that's how they would sit in a synagogue. So this is the synagogue at Magdala, and there's so many things to see here. There were pillars here that would have supported a roof over it. Okay, we don't have that now. So many places the roof obviously didn't survive. But what I want you to see as we go along here are the mosaics. I completely did not expect to see this. For the entire trip, everywhere we went, stop after stop, the floors were covered with these beautiful mosaics. And it just blew me away, especially the Roman and later Byzantine era mosaics. But here is this humble little synagogue with these beautiful mosaics on the floor. And this is literally from the time of Jesus. Jesus would have been right. This is where Mary Magdalene would have gone to hear the Torah. Jesus spoke in this synagogue. And then towards the end, there's even some pictures of frescoes on the wall that were painted there. So that's Magdala. And then next, this is the view from my hotel room of the Sea of Galilee. I literally just recorded a 6-minute video of the view because I wanted to remember this and not forget it. You could hear the birds singing, and there I was on the second floor of this little hotel. They called it, it was a kibbutz at one time. And so you can literally overlooking the Sea of Galilee, where we stayed for 3 days. And then on that same property,
Galilee boat.
1986, there was a drought at the Sea of Galilee, and some brothers who were there in a fishing village just thought, they literally said this, wouldn't it be great one day if we could just discover something in the Sea of Galilee that would prove things, you know? These brothers, these fishermen, were out walking the coastline of this drought around the Sea of Galilee, and they discovered something that looked like a boat sticking up in the mud. And this boat is about 27 feet long, about 7.5 feet wide, about 4.5 feet deep. And it dates, scientifically carbon dated, to 50 BC to 50 AD, exactly the time of Jesus. It had place for 4 oars that could have been locked in, a place for a mast, for a sail. And this is the common Galilee fishing boat that would have been used at the time of Jesus. When you read over and over in the Gospels, over 50 times, they got into a boat. He was teaching from a boat. There was a storm, and they were in the boat. He was asleep. This is what the boat would have looked like. It's a real boat from that time. So that's the Sea of Galilee. Now, we're going to read in the scripture in just a minute. Jesus moved his headquarters to, he left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum. These Greek inscriptions on the columns you can ignore, but those were later. But this is, we're actually standing in the synagogue of Capernaum here. And remember how small the Magdala synagogue was. When we turn around for a second, look at how big this synagogue is with the stone seating all around. This synagogue is much larger. And now you read in the Gospels that Peter lived in Capernaum, and the little visitor center looking thing is built over what's believed to be the site of Peter's house. These are dwellings here, stone walls of dwellings. There's a grinding stone. You talk about Jesus said it's better that a millstone be cast and tied around their neck, thrown into the sea. You can literally throw a rock from here into the Sea of Galilee, and in this area they found a millstone, right? So you're literally looking at the Sea of Galilee from this Capernaum synagogue. Peter's house was right there. So you can imagine Jesus going to heal Peter's mother-in-law. He just walks out of the synagogue, past a few homes, to what's very good evidence that this was, there's an inscription found with the name of Peter in this little home here underneath this, where they've built that visitor center. So this is Capernaum, where Jesus conducted much of his ministry, and really they were based from there. So then up about 20 minutes north of there on a hill is the synagogue at Chorazin. And this synagogue, you can see the pillars all the way around. You can see the stone benches. These have been rebuilt, reconstructed, so you can see what it would look like around there. And so you can see the stone structure. There's a passage where he says, "Woe to you, Bethsaida and Chorazin, if the miracles done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented." Here, Jesus was at this synagogue when he said, the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and they actually have a stone-carved seat that's known as Moses' seat that they found here at this synagogue. Here's the front. This is part of a little ornate stone structure where it would have been an inset where then the scrolls would have been kept at the front of the synagogue at Chorazin. Then I mentioned that we took our tour bus off-road. This was one of those stops at Bethsaida. The eucalyptus trees here are not native, nor are the pine trees. Those were brought in by folks much later. There's a sign we won't call any attention to about the archaeological site. So here we are at, this is one of those examples of places I mentioned where we went to places many tours would not go. This is known as El Araj, or the second site of Bethsaida. There's another site that's often identified with Bethsaida, but it's too far inland. And this is right on the water. There are beautiful mosaics here that have all been covered up. This is between dig seasons. And this is where the synagogue would have been at Bethsaida. So we went to a lot of different sites in Israel. This one, you can see, has only had a few seasons of excavation. And if you would like, you could go this fall and help continue to dig there as they expose. Right now, things are covered up. You can read some journal articles online and see what they found. It's impressive what they found here at Bethsaida. But let's fast forward. And Philip and Andrew were from Bethsaida. And you can see quite literally how close this was to the water. Whoops. Back over here. Let's fast forward a little bit. And so now if we just kind of walk from that synagogue and kind of look around, you're literally on the Sea of Galilee right here. It's there. It's right there. The water is right there. So that's how close. When it says that Jesus taught in the synagogues of Galilee, they were literally on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, these places. So, in Mark 5 is the story of Jesus curing the demoniac, delivering him. And this is on the east side now, on that little map you have in your hands, where it's labeled pigs. And while there are a lot of slopes on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, this is the only one that kind of has a steep embankment down to the Sea of Galilee. We don't know this is the exact spot, but it's very likely this is the spot, because the city was the city of the Gerasenes, and modern day it's down here on the coast, and it's called Kursi, K-U-R-S-I, and it's a K instead of a G because the Arabs on this side can't pronounce the letter G, so it's almost like Gersi, Gerasene. That's linguistically the same place as the Gerasenes, where this story would have taken place. And then up on the hill from there, this was a pagan city with a view overlooking the Sea of Galilee from the east side. Hippos, or Susita, was beautiful. And it's a Roman city here where there was an amphitheater. They found a fully intact stage mask of the god Pan that would have been worn in the drama on the stage here. It was a remarkable find. And so this was a very pagan city, and we read that the demoniac, after he was cured, went to the cities of the Decapolis to tell his story of what Jesus had done for him. And this was this Roman city. And in this Roman city, there's a whole section where it was destroyed by an earthquake because all the columns fell in the same direction. You can imagine those big columns. They were all just like somebody had laid them all down, these massive columns. And so we're literally just walking around the ruins of this city. A lot of this stone is black, what they call basaltic stone, which is volcanic rock. And it blew my mind. I'd never heard of volcanic rock in Israel, but it's everywhere. So we're just exploring around this city, Hippos here, and you can see towards the end here just a view. It was just absolutely gorgeous up from this hill. Again, think of Galilee like a bowl, and this is one of the eastern rim of this city overlooking the Sea of Galilee. So, there we go, a video tour of Galilee. Now, what I'd like to do next, I'd like to call 3D scripture reading. So now with these places in our mind that we just saw, we are going to read some passages of the Gospels in context now, and hopefully it will do for you what it's done for me, to be able to, the scripture comes alive now. So in Matthew chapter 4, and verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he, Jesus, went and lived in Capernaum by the sea. We just saw that synagogue at Capernaum, literally on the edge of the water. That's where Jesus lived for most of his ministry years. And it says, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. We think of Galilee just in the New Testament, but here Isaiah, 600 BC, makes a reference to Galilee, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He began preaching that in the synagogue we just saw there at Capernaum. Later in chapter 4, and walking by the Sea of Galilee, right there, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And I can tell you, when I was staying there, walking out on this little jetty into the Sea of Galilee, even today, you can just look in the water, and there's a lot of fish right there. Still, it is a fishing lake, so to speak. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. We've seen the boat. We've seen the Sea of Galilee right here at Capernaum. And then they went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. We just looked at four of the synagogues around Galilee. They each were built in their own size and shape and location, but they all followed the same layout. You have the benches around, the stone benches, the table or a place in the middle where the scrolls would be held. And so there he's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And it says great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis. Okay, Susita or Hippos, that city we just looked at was one of those cities of the Decapolis. And Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. There's a traditional place called the Mount of Beatitudes. Any one of these mountains around could have been the place of the Beatitudes. And he sat down and his disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and taught them saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And as he's giving this teaching, so there's any one of these hills could become an amphitheater. As he's standing there teaching to the people seated on the hills. So now it says in Mark 5, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. This is what we just looked at, this precipice, this hill where the steep embankment where the pigs would have ran down there at the place of the Gerasenes. And Jesus stepped out of the boat. Now, this is at a time when if the shadow of a Gentile fell on you as a Jew, you were unclean. These people are not shepherding sheep and goats. They're herding pigs, unclean animals. These are not Jewish people. These are the ultimate pagans that the Jews were taught to ignore, to separate themselves from. And those people felt that separation. They knew they were not to us, that the Jews were not to associate with them. There's a scene in season 3 of The Chosen where they do a really good job of showing all these people with very different clothing and language and look about them. This would have been a place very much where the Jews would never have gone. And here's Jesus leading his ducklings, his disciples, to this place of unclean people. And we see the story where this man is shackled, and they can't keep him shackled or clothed and anything else. He's possessed by these demons. And so he's having this conversation with the demons, and they send us to the pigs. And they came out and they entered the pigs. They're about 2,000, and they rushed down a steep bank into the sea and drowned. And this, you might think, okay, that's pretty amazing. But the local, there's two people begging Jesus as this passage continues. The local herdsmen are begging Jesus to leave. You just cost us 2,000 pigs. You know how much that would have cost? 2,000 pigs. So there's huge economic, it's like, who is this Gentile or this Jewish man? He has no business being here. Just leave. But the man who was delivered from the demons is begging Jesus, can I come with you? And what does Jesus say to him? He says, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, the city we just looked at, how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. This was a foreign story to them. They didn't know the Jewish scriptures. And here's a man, all they know is he was possessed. They couldn't keep clothes on him. He's cutting himself. And all of a sudden, now this man is completely normal and delivered. And here is this man, an evangelist for Jesus to these complete pagans. Feeding of the 5,000. And after this, and Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, another name for it. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the Feast of the Jews, was at hand, and lifting up his eyes then and seeing a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus says to Philip, okay, Philip was from Bethsaida. That little low place was barely excavated, we just looked at. You can see the Sea of Galilee right there. Philip grew up there. Philip's the local. Jesus says, hey, Philip, you know this place. Where can we buy some bread to feed all these people? Jesus is leading him, right, to a miracle situation, the feeding of the 5,000. Now, I want to show you what it looks like on the Sea of Galilee, riding in a boat. So we took a nice ride on the Sea of Galilee, maybe an hour or so. And of course, we sang songs and read the story of the calming of the storm. And I made this video just because I didn't want to forget this moment. And so I made this video of just riding on the Sea of Galilee. You're looking at the hills around it. This was where we read these passages of Jesus and the disciples in the boat and the storm, Peter getting out of the boat, the storm on the sea. And it was not uncommon. Even today, our guide, John, said that he has seen 6-foot waves on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. Due to the geography of the Sea of Galilee and the weather patterns, it is not unusual for a storm suddenly to spring up over the Sea of Galilee and to cause these waves. It's still known today. It still happens today. So the situation of the disciples in the boat with Jesus, fearing for their lives, this sudden storm, was when they were getting in the boat to cross the sea to Capernaum. And the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing in John 6. All right. And Jesus talking about himself as the manna. This is the bread that came down from heaven. I think, Phil, you just read this passage last week, wasn't it? And not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. We just saw the synagogue at Capernaum. Jesus was standing right there saying these words that he is the bread that comes down from heaven. Now, Jesus has taken the disciples all over Israel. Now he's in Jerusalem. He's been crucified. He's raised from the dead. They're in Jerusalem. Here is Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and some gospels say Salome. These were the women, and it says in some of the other gospels, these were the women that supported Jesus and came with him from Galilee. It's Mary from Magdala here. She's in Jerusalem. She's at the tomb where Jesus has risen. And the disciples are not there, but she sees an angel at the tomb. And the angel says, he's risen from the dead, and he's going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Go tell the others. Then on their way, Jesus greets them. And he says, yes, it's really me. Tell the guys we're going to Galilee. All right? So here we are in Jerusalem. We're going back to Galilee. This was so central to Jesus' ministry with the disciples. So can you imagine the disciples who've been on this 3-year whirlwind with Jesus, and they're hiding in Jerusalem after the crucifixion, fearing for their own lives, and then coming back to home, to this lake that was ringed with the memories of everything they saw Jesus do, everything they heard him teach, and everything they practiced. And this is a graduation ceremony of a 3-year degree with Jesus for the disciples here at the Sea of Galilee. So then the Great Commission happens in Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And from that place, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. All right. And this is where Jesus modeled going to the nations, even right there, just on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And now he's telling them, okay, you've seen me do it. You've done it with me. Now it's your turn to go to the nations. Acts chapter 1, famous as well, kind of continuation of this. And the disciples are asking them, okay, is this the time when you make the kingdom happen in Israel? And he says, no, that's up to the Father, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And then he's taken up into heaven. And I just thought this was really interesting. How does the angel address the disciples standing there on this mountain? He says, men of Galilee. He identified them by where they're from. The angel says, men of Galilee, what are you looking at? Get at it. It's time to go. He said to go. Let's go. Right? So they address him, men of Galilee. This Jesus who was taken up into heaven will come in the same way you saw him. So when I say that Scripture is real, it's real people, real places, real history, this is just a partial list. I walked in the steps of Jesus on the steps of the temple in Jerusalem where he ministered. I walked in Capernaum and Magdala, the Galilee synagogues. I overlooked the field where David killed Goliath. We were on Mount Carmel looking down where Elijah had the showdown with the prophets of Baal. We saw it right there. I was in En-Gedi where David clipped the robe of Saul. I walked through the Spring of Gihon, this 3,000-year-old spring in Hezekiah's tunnel where Scripture says that he diverted the water source to supply the city with water. I was on the Mount of Olives. I was near wherever would have been called the Garden of Gethsemane there. I saw the Bethany location of where I believe John the Baptist baptized Jesus. I stood in the footsteps of Herod and John the Baptist at the Fort Machaerus on the Jordan side, on the east side of the Dead Sea. I saw the walls of Jericho where Joshua and the children of Israel marched around. I sat in the Holy of Holies at Shiloh, where this says that Samuel was asleep, and he heard the voice of the Lord saying, Samuel, Samuel. I stood at the port of Joppa, at the traditional port that's been there for 3,000 years. It's still an active fish market today with men playing backgammon, waiting on people to come by and buy their fish. And you can smell the fish and you can see all the fish in the crates right there. It's still a seaport. They're still fishing. And that's where Jonah, this land lover, was trying to find a ride on a boat to get away from God. And where Peter saw the vision of the sheep being let down. I was there in Caesarea. I sat in the amphitheater where Herod Agrippa died in the book of Acts. I saw these things. I walked in these places. And I'm here to tell you that Scripture is real. So come and see. On your handout and on linked in the sermon notes online, you'll find some links to the guides that I had for my trip. Dr. John Delancey, I was his 85th trip to Israel. Dr. Scott Stripling with the Associates for Biblical Research at digshiloh.org, where we dug. And then Mike and Kathy are scheduled to go to Israel in February with Tom Short. So if you'd like to go to Israel yourself, you could join them this coming February. I'm told that it usually sells out around July. At least last year, it was already sold out by July. So if you'd like to go, there's lots of opportunities for you to go. Now, one of the things that, if you're putting your feet in the place where Jesus walked, you kind of expect this, like, time and space and everything just lines up, and you have this amazing spiritual experience standing right there where Jesus stood. And we kind of expect that when we go, and it's not like that everywhere. But there were a few times where I just really felt the presence of the Lord. And there at Capernaum, we were running and gunning the whole time, but we took some time just to kind of soak in where literally on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where Peter and Andrew and James and John were called by Jesus. And so I had this, I'll just say, you go expecting to hear from the Lord, and you go to expect to see the land, you go also to expect to hear from the Lord. So I made some notes in my journal as through tears, looking at my iPhone and typing with my thumbs. And I'll share a little bit of that with you. But I want you to just see this last little clip here. And Tristan, you can turn the sound up for this one. Right here on the shores of the Sea of Galilee is where Jesus ask Peter to come follow me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll angle back.
Peter, his response immediately was, I'm not worthy. I stand here reflecting on Psalm 139. It says, this is just too much. It's too much to take it in. You hem me in behind and before, and you even lay your hand on me. And here in this place, I feel the hand of Jesus. My shoulders, he asked me to follow him. So